and we approach you in prayer. We just want to remember this request. Brother Winston Douglas, you guys pray for his daughter Sharon, who's suffering with an infection in her left ear. Brother Jeffrey Sanchez requests prayer for his aunt, a believer, who is suffering with constant head pains for about a month now. Carl Wilson requests prayer for a friend, Samuel Corbin, who is ailing with severe head pains and stomach pains. Prayer is also requested for the salvation of his soul. Prayer is requested for Brother Johnson, who is at home suffering with severe headaches and pain throughout his body. If you have a special request, just hold them in your heart also. As we approach God, He is more than able. If His loved one is standing on behalf of, He sees and knows all things. He knows what we have need of even before we ask. But He said the reason you don't receive is because you don't ask. And the reason you don't ask is because you don't believe. But ask that your joys may be full. Let us come. Let our joys be full this morning. Let God fill our hearts with joy. The joy of salvation. Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let Him give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. To see His amazing grace in your life. To experience what it is to serve Him in spirit and truth. To get another touch from Him. To walk with Him daily. Any life that is not walking with Him daily is a life that is not worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must walk with Him daily. We must die daily that He can live in us. Our Heavenly Father, we stand in Your presence with bowed hearts, bowed heads, in reverence, knowing You are our Creator. We are Your offspring. You express attributes manifested in flesh. We come, Lord, with the realization that we are spirit sons and spirit daughters of the Spirit God expressed in our flesh body. The Bible says this earthly house of this tabernacle. Lord God, as we walk and serve You in this hour, the outward man perish, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Lord God, knowing that the affliction is but for a moment, as Paul says, our light affliction. Sometimes it seems that it's so burdensome, this flesh and the ailments and the different things we go through, even all the hybrid food that we eat and just tearing up this body and the medicine that we take in. But oh God, this morning we stand looking unto You, who is all sufficient. The one who made this body, the one who gave it unto us, we might live in to contact our earthly home. Lord, we might go through a time of testing and be proven worthy until we come into that word body where there is no pain, there is no sorrow, there is no sin. Lord, we feel the travail in our hearts. As the sun sets, Lord, and that new day begins to break, and we feel the call to go back to Eden again. We know it's not many days from now. Lord, when we enter into that perfect body, and we shall be like You. But Lord, while we're here and we continue our pilgrimage, Lord, we know there's an atonement that stands there for us. Like the children of Israel, while doing the Exodus, there's a brazen pole that they can look up and be healed. How much greater it is for us today. For He said, as that serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so the Son of Man was going to be lifted up. And He had been revealed in the evening time and lifted up before us as an ensign. And we can look with faith. We can look and live. We can look and be made whole. And Heavenly Father, these who have these needs, even for themselves and for their families and for their loved ones and for their friends, God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would put that inspiration in their hearts. And they would look up, Lord. They would see full redemption and atonement in which lies every redemptive blessing. By their faith, as they look with faith, Lord God, they would receive what they have need of. Granted this morning, Father. Even these standing here in the congregation, holding unspoken requests in their hearts, but knowing by faith they look to an all-sufficient God who is omniscient, who knows the very thoughts in their hearts. As they would present that request with faith, believing that you are a reward of those who diligently seek you, may they receive it also, Father. And Lord Jesus, we stand this morning, Lord, reporting for service, looking unto you for a word you would speak unto our hearts, our spiritual food in season, that the inner man might feast and be strengthened, nourished up in the words of faith, and the man of God might be made perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. May it come from your great mighty hand. And then, Lord, knowing there are these who have seen that fountain filled with blood, blessed be the fountain of blood to a world of sinners revealed. A dying thief rejoices to see that fountain in his day. So these rejoice as that fountain have been made open unto them, the revealed word, bleeding the bloody Lamb of God. Just like John the Baptist introduced to the people a lamb greater than what Moses had introduced unto them. He said, behold, the Lamb of God is able to take away the sins of the world. So in this day that lamb have been restored back, that the people can come again, Lord, not to have the sins covered, but to be remitted completely by coming into true identification with you, by being planted in the likeness of your death and being raised up in the likeness of your resurrection. So many have made a decision, and after this service, Lord God, they come that they might be baptized for remission of their sins. Bless them today, Father. Lord God, may there be great deliverance in their hearts as we go to baptize with water. May the sealing angel, the Holy Spirit, baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. As John said, there's one standing amongst us mighty than I. That ministry you never gave to no man, you kept it for yourself. That you will be the one who baptize the people with the Holy Ghost and fire. Heavenly Father, I pray you would meet with them. Oh God, in a special way today, we commit ourselves into your hands of service today. Lead and direct us and get honor and glory amongst us. Receive our thanksgiving, our worship, as we give unto you from the depths of our hearts, thanking you for all these things. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's turn to our Bibles this morning. The book of St. Luke chapter 23 and Revelation chapter 6. We have a note of praise here. Brother Andrew Boston would like to thank the Lord for breaking the influence of the enemy in his home after the brothers prayed in the prayer meeting in his home a few weeks ago. Praise God. His wife is going to be baptized today. Amen. Brother Cho would like to thank the Lord for delivering his son Mark Salmon from belly pains after prayer was offered on Thursday night also. Amen. Also, your announcement here. But in announcement, the saints are invited to witness the marriage ceremony of Brother Renick Rojas to Sister Erica Hackett on Saturday 10th November 1984 at 3 p.m. at the church in Kokie. Receptions in Lion Civic Center, Circular Road, San Fernando. That's why they have it down there, much closer to the place. So you're all invited. May God bless you and give you great joy to be there, also to be in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. This great one that is taking place right now. Great uniting time when the word is being united with the bride. Luke 23, reading from verse 27. Jesus going to Calvary, despised and rejected, the revealed word. He was rejected, but now he's going to be publicly crucified. And in his last hour, under divine inspiration, he was uttering his prophecy to a people with the emotions. They were crying, they were sorry for him, what he was going through, but they had their hour to receive him and they didn't do it. And he was not comforted by the tears, he was not comforted by the bewailment. Rather, he turned the prophesy upon them. And verse 27, we read like this: and there followed him a great company of people, and of women all who also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus turned unto them and said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the paps which never gave suck, or the breast which never nursed. And in that hour, then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and on the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Think about it. Revelation chapter 6. Verse 12. The sixth seal, it has been revealed, but it's to be opened shortly.
Amen.
As the bride is getting ready and being taken out of the way, it's coming to a place where this is going to be opened literally. That's why we can already see people saying, Blessed are the paps which never give suck. Blessed are the barren, which was a curse in olden times. For women to be barren is a curse. Look at Hannah. She cried for a veil that God gave her a child to open up that womb. Now think, keep your mind on the church. What about a barren church? The woman is the type of the church, you know that. Revelation 6 verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island will move out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, every slave, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the monks. In the rocks of the mountains, said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes one more time. Our Heavenly Father, just but a few moments we, Lord, are going to spend here this morning because of the other part of this service to take place down at the seaside. Lord, while we would spend those few moments here, we just ask a little exhortation. You would speak to our hearts so directly, quickly, Lord, and briefly, just bring us under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of God could impress His thoughts upon us. Lord, we might be enlightened as to the hour that we are living in, that might make our calling, our election sure, might make ourselves ready, Father, for the message of come for preparation. The pillar of fire for vindication, the token for our consolation. We know that judgment is breaking forth, and he that is filled will be filled still, he that is righteous will be righteous still, he that is holy will be holy still. But while we feel that door is swinging shut and you are quickly pulling in the last ones and twos, I just pray that the Spirit will speak to you expressly today. There will be great conviction left in our hearts, so we'd be under the effects of the revealed word. We come face to face with our God. Grant it. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ for your honor and for your glory. Amen. May you have a seat. May God richly bless everyone in the house of God today. It was good when the Sharon says, Let's go to the house of the Lord. I believe it's real good for us to be here this morning. We're not going to be long. I know it's about 10 past 11. I trust to be completed at 12 o'clock and dismiss you. We have a baptismal service to take place down at Karnat side here, and we have about 18 people to be baptized this morning, water baptism, and I just trust by the grace of God that when we finish here there will be some more. Amen. Those who have not been baptized, those who are wondering if they should be baptized, I remember even the great apostle Paul, he wasn't yet an apostle because he wasn't sent as yet, but he was now being called in order to might be made ready to be sent. You know, he come like David one time. God had chosen him. He didn't even know he was chosen. He didn't even know he was called. He wasn't even anointed yet, much less be placed. But he was just carrying out in obedience to his father's request to watch over the sheep. But little did he know, he was in training, in preparation by Almighty God for greater service. And many a times we fail to realize that our walk, and you find people discouraged, that they find their lives so ordinary, their lives so simple, their lives seem to be like in a routine, their life seem not to be commanding great attention and much spoken of by other people whom they might admire and would like to be like. Amen. And sometimes they get themselves into trying to fabricate something and push themselves out there and they fail. But David, you know, back there, he was contented. Amen. In little things to be faithful first. Amen. That's a proof to the Father, his worthiness and his obedience. And he's watching the sheep. And while he's watching the sheep, things are happening. But there was no great audience to applaud him. When with daring faith and courage for the life of a helpless sheep, he put his life in danger and smote the lion and take the sheep out of the lion's mouth. There's nobody to pat him on the back and say, great display of faith, David. It wasn't the papers. Amen. So while people would be complimented for less heroic deeds, David with great experiences had to go by unnoticed. His name not mentioned on the lips of the people who it seemed was given the job to put people in the hall of fame. Amen. But those things never bother him. Because he know no man can get nothing except God give it to him. Yeah. And you know when you get something from a man, you get nothing. Yeah. Because the next man can take it away. Yeah. But when God gives you something, no man can take it. Yeah. It's yours all the time. Yeah. Amen. And David was just contented to be there in the background for a little while. But in his faithfulness, to him the sheep wasn't just a sheep. To him the sheep was something that dependent upon the strength of the shepherd. For him, you understand the whole role of the shepherd was for the sheep. And he could see in God great wisdom how he made the sheep helpless. Because his life was made to depend upon the sight and the care and the concern of another. Amen. Amen. And that's why he could pray, the Lord is my shepherd. Because in the sheep he saw his insufficiency. In the sheep, he saw his helplessness. He learned to die watching the sheep. He learned that greatness is humility in the sheep. He learned innocence in the sheep. Amen. See, he learned these things. And with these things, he had found favor with God. And all the time, Saul was the name on everybody's lips. They were singing about Saul killing his thousand. They were singing about Saul head and shoulders over everybody. They were singing about Saul in such a great way. But all that time, here was character. While Saul was taking the people and putting them to work and putting them to use and making them fight the battle and do different things and then getting the glory for it. And then people, you know, who did things didn't get a compliment. Wasn't even mentioned. Because Saul wanted to dominate the scene. Saul wanted to be the man of the hour. You see, and yet couldn't obey what the prophet said, all what the prophet said. Yes. Then the prophet Samuel told Saul, go and utterly destroy all the flesh. Amen. See, he went down there and the first thing he met King Agag, the man who should die first. Amen. The biggest Philistine, King Agag, he spear him. All the fat sheep, he spear it. Because you want to come back now and use these things now to kind of bring it in the house of God and worship and give plenty of sacrifice. And then you could say, this man really sacrificed a lot. But what God required was obedience more than sacrifice. See? And here all the while God is watching him. And God is watching David. And God hours in the tomb. You see? And then the hour came. It had a challenge. But here it was that David had now to actually come to a place God is going to bring him to the forefront. Like God is bringing him to the forefront. Many walk the street insignificant, unnoticed. You seem like your life is meaningless. You seem like your life is not no influence. You see? But then they all come here to be called. And the prophet Samuel, when he went on to anoint one of Jesse's sons, God revealed him. He said, I have already chosen one of Jesse's sons to be king. David was chosen. He didn't even know he was chosen. The hour had come for him to be anointed. He didn't even know his hour had come to be anointed. He had qualified and met God approval and didn't even know he had done it. Because he didn't do the eye service. He didn't do it to create an impression. He was doing it in obedience, in humility, in sincerity, from the depths of his heart. He was just displaying what he really was. And man wasn't going to correct the paper, now God was going to correct the paper. And the paper that man correct and put high up, God, what man called great, God had called foolish. And what man called foolish is what was great in God's eyes. And then the time came, he had to be called. And the prophet said, send and fetch him, because none of these here. God said, don't even look after the outward appearance. Don't even look after all these things. He said, get that one. God's looking for character. And then when he came, he was called. He was elected, he was called. He began to realize it now. His calling was only because of his election. Amen. And then came his anointing. And the prophet took the horn of oil and poured it upon him. Amen. And anointed him. And then he had a revelation. What the anointing meant. Who are the ones called in this day, elected and chosen to be anointed for special service? To finish up this great commission. To wind up the New Testament. To display God's redemption. To show the bride that cannot fall. To show where he failed and the early church failed. Here is a people that God has restored back. That the death of Jesus Christ was not in vain. This is his victory. This is the reason of his death. Why did God put Adam to sleep? To take a bride out of his side. Why did God put Christ to sleep on the cross? To get a bride out of his side. Because Adam's bride was in him. Unexpressed, but had a season. When that bride that was unexpressed had to be expressed and made manifest. And revealed. Because while she was in Adam, she could not be revealed. Shall be taken out and put in another body in order to be revealed. And that life in you, that new husband, that new nature, that divine nature, that was that life before it came in you was in God. But it had to be taken out and put in your body so the female part of Jesus Christ could be revealed through you. Because a wife is a husband's glory. Jesus Christ is the glory of God and the church is the glory of Jesus Christ. That is his victory. Why did he come and die? See? Why did he fight that battle there? And took the wrath of God, the judgment of God for the whole world upon himself. And barely saved the world to win back something that was lost. Amen. And what it was a people. As he prayed, Father, these who you gave me before the foundation of the world. See, he said, I know these will believe your word. He said, they have manifested thy name unto them and they have believed it. They have received your word. They have left the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, all the religious organizations. They bear reproach to follow Jesus, who the churches call a devil. Amen. Say he's Beelzebub. Amen. They beat them for preaching his name. Amen. But they rejoice. Amen. Because he had revealed to them no man could pluck them out of his hand. Amen. The words with him back the air. The Son of Man had come to seek and save that which was lost. Amen. He gave his life a ransom. You know when people have their families and somebody get kidnapped? And they need a ransom to redeem them, to get them back. They have some ransom money they have to pay. Well, his life was the ransom. Peter said, you redeemed not the corruptible thing like gold or silver, but by the precious blood. And that blood was God's holy life. Amen. See? And not just he shed his blood for you and he gave his life for you, but his life will come in you now. Because he became sin, that you can become the righteousness of God. God became man that man could become God. You see? So here was David. He was called, and then he was anointed, and he knew what the anointing meant. And that is the revelation that individuals is waking up to in this hour. God called them. God sent a prophet to call them. Because they were chosen. God revealed his prophet. Like he revealed Elijah. Elijah is not the only one. When Elijah said, Lord, Jezebel have killed all the prophets. They have killed the people. The rest are forsaken. She built all kind of pagan shrines. Lead the people into idolatry. I'm the only one remain. God said, no, Elijah. It has 7,000 that didn't bow the knee down. God revealed that a prophet. He had 7,000 chosen ones. Like he revealed his prophet in his day. There is a little handful. Amen. Go and get them. Amen. Amen. The hour is come. You look at all the big organizations. He's have rejected that because they disobey my word. Amen. Saul didn't kill everything. God said, God reject you. An evil spirit come upon Saul from the Lord. Amen. Amen. All Saul can't speak upon Saul. You want to fight everybody. Pay javelin and kill everybody. You want to run down everybody. And when David meets him, he can take up the harp and play, I love him. Play the demons off of him. Amen. Even David can tell him, he's a man of your integrity. Amen. He said, you're the king of Israel. This hot wilderness outside here. You should be somewhere in the courts, back in Jerusalem. You should be attending more important matters. He said, a flea like me, a dog. You come from miles out in the wilderness in the hot sun to run me down? I who's a nobody? Amen! Let me show you, the devil is a man after God's heart. The devil had the opportunity to kill Saul right there. He never do Saul nothing. Is that jealousy upon Saul? And under fight and kill and all kinds of different things? And when David had him ready to kill him, Abishai draw the sword. He's going to cut this man. He said, I won't have to smite him twice. The first blow will be dead. I won't even have to smite him twice. I can imagine David watch him so stern in his eyes. He might say, what happened? I supporting the man, look at the man. But that was Christ in David. He said, touch the God anointed. Even though he know God rejected him. Even though he know he was anointed. Even though he know evil spirit come upon him. Even though he was out of the will of God. He said, touch God anointed. Leave him alone. Don't even touch him. Leave him right there. May what I am saying this morning release that spirit in your heart to make you a man after God on heart. Because Elijah has come to turn the heart back. God look on the outward appearance. God look on the heart. Is your heart be on? See? And then afterwards, David just cut a little part of the skirt. Went up on the mountain. So next morning he got up now. See? And he moved his spear and his bottle of water. So next morning be the call out now. King Saul, Abner. So they came with the alarm. Who's that? Yeah, they saw him. They were looking for him to hunt him down and kill him. But now they saw him. So David began to rebuke Abner now. What kind of man is he? So you got in God, king? You were sleeping last night? People come in the tent, you could have killed the king? That is the character, the power God has come to. Not a bunch of foolishness people run around with and wild radical spirits and them. Not that. It will be Christ in you. Because the ministry is Jesus Christ's own. That demon possession on people. What they call an authority. But look at David, let me show you. He had the kill right here. Put the sword upon him. After he ran down for years and every opportunity he gets to pet the javelin at him. For what? Because David defeated Goliath? Before he could deliver the sheep out of the bear mount and the lion mount? Amen! You see, and then afterwards, when Saul saw that, he said, he's a better man than me. God make your enemies at peace with you. He said he's a better man than me. He feels shame. He's going to cry. See? Father, why he was supposed to leave him? And he saw it. It was open for everybody. Nobody could deny it. Finally, thank you. And Saul died in the battle. And David was running from place to place. Together from Saul. And Saul died in the battle. Here, this man now come and pick up Saul. Bracelets and different things that could identify. Maybe Saul was a man to wear special bracelets, you know. To know that's King Saul own, you see. Maybe his initials or whatever it was. So the man came and walked in David's camp. And he felt so assured of himself, you know. Well, now I'm going to be able to ride with this bunch. Now I'm going to be able to get some recognition and some status among them because I'm going to prove to them I'm on the side. So from the time he came, he said, you see what happened? Look, I bring King Saul bracelet. He's dead. You have nothing to worry about now. Say, you have no enemies now? Your enemy is finished. You're free. And he began to boast, you know. So David said, he said, tell me. That's the way the man walked in the camp. That's the way he was looking alone. That eagle eye, David said something different. He said, tell me how it happened. He said, well, the king got wounded in the battle. And while he got wounded, he was dying. And I came up and he told me, he said, slay me quickly because I don't want the Philistines to kill me. I know he said, you know, like, that's the positive proof. I, the man myself, who finished the job.
Amen.
So, you meet him, you're watching face to face the man who destroyed your greatest enemy. At least you have some gratitude. I look at the spirit of David again, you watch him. He said, you ain't got you nothing in your heart? You can get a little trouble self? A little fear, come upon you, not a prophet anointing that man? That was God anointed to kill just like that?
Amen.
You can come in this camp here and laugh? And talk that so?
Amen.
Brothers, you all listen very carefully this morning.
Amen.
This is the kind of men we want in this camp.
Amen.
With that kind of spirit upon them.
Amen.
Somebody come here laughing, talking some country to somebody, pull them aside and talk to them quickly.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Whether the person half crazy, doing foolishness outside there or what. Amen. They're a servant of God. God will take care of them.
Amen.
They're against you. And watch the spirit that want to use those things conveniently to win your friendship. God don't give your friends through that channel.
Amen.
When God give your friends, he'll give a friend like Jonathan. How you give Jonathan to David? You don't have to buy friends and conveniently. No, sir.
Amen.
Because from the time that spirit, they have no respect there to begin with. They can't have no respect here neither.
Yes.
It's status they're looking for. So they David said, you ain't got your nothing at all. When the man realized all these, what he thought was heroic deeds, that was going to win friendship and give him status, David looked upon Benaniah and he said, fall upon him. Fall upon him. In other words, take him aside and chop him to pieces. Get rid of this abomination from the camp. Amen. Then David comes now. He says, okay now, let me publish. He called a scribe. Start to write. And inspiration drop upon him. You know he's to write songs. Right away, inspiration comes. He says, Saul and Jonathan, stronger than lions, swifter than eagles. How they fought valiantly. Amen. How those great heroic men in battle. Amen. How the name was feared through the land. And he began to give him a great obituary. Like Abraham, when God wrote Abraham on. He said he's staggered not true unbelief. He didn't mention his faults. Amen. He didn't mention his mistakes. Amen. Let God be his judge when the time comes. And God is watching all that. And God is letting the people see. That is what I was seeing when I see a man after my own heart. I will see when conditions come, how he will handle it. How he will behave himself wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him.
Amen?
Amen? But it's the very same thing God is watching. This is all the heart that is turned back. When God is looking not on the outer appearance, but on the heart. And inside the heart, that's the kind of spirit God is looking for. And God is going to give you opportunities to see if you want an eye for eye and a tooth for a tooth. And God is going to bring your enemies back. I see that some who rise up and slander and say all kinds of things, and God bring them right back. What are you going to do? Take the sword and chop the head off, or are you going to give them mercy? Leave them alone.
Amen.
See, because God is the one. God is watching, because
you know in the hour when God is testing you unconsciously, let two people walk in filthy abomination calendar service, and the prophet speaker and say, don't do that no more. Don't do that no more. Don't bring your immoral behavior in here. Making love in the service, kind of laughing while he's preaching. Trying to preach the word to get the people fit to a place for divine healing and these things. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit breaking in the service and a deathly usher the place. And everybody gets scared. The people turn white in the seat. Amen. And the Holy Spirit say what you want to them. If it's a leprosy, it will come upon them now. Blindness, it will come upon them. Death, they will pack them out. Whatever you say. 3 days before God had told him, a trap was set for him. He said, unconsciously, you know your sin. He said, I forgive you. The Holy Spirit broke through the meeting. Was one of the greatest healing services they had that night. He said, what it was, God was watching to see what he was going to do. Bring him to a test and put him there. All kind of tests God is bringing. Because these are our authority will be given. So you'll get situations to see how you'll use authority. Whether for self-glorification, or to help God, sick, poor, suffering people to have a better way of life. And that's why I thank God these last few weeks. The word came as hard as it could be preached. Lightning and thunder tearing our souls apart. And yet inside the love of God could be shed upon our hearts. Assure us that what God has given unto us, that this morning here could have 18 souls to be baptized. And may there be more if the heart, not the heart. Because the hour is here and the time is at hand. Amen. Because we are right on the verge of the greatest thing that ever struck the church. Amen. The end of all things has come. The message has been delivered. The bride had made herself ready. People there wondering what is going on. So just for a little exhortation this morning, I just want to take a little part of insanity in the mind age just to continue it. Because Friday night there, we are speaking the insanity in the mind age. Continue when I was preaching from veil, from the evil to the evil age. Show you how the world is going to go into insanity. And here's another prophecy. How Jesus himself was speaking to the people that followed him. Here was the word. Jesus was the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word is made flesh and dwelt among us. And before that word could be introduced to the people, it had to have a prophet to come first. And just before the first coming, he shows in a parallel his order for his second coming. Because God does not change his ways. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And here was a prophet of the spirit, Elijah, coming to forerun the coming. And that word came to the prophet because Jesus was the word and John was the prophet. And the word always comes to the prophet. Don't come to a priest. Jesus didn't have to go to Caiaphas for Caiaphas to introduce him. He didn't have to go to Herod, one of the great politicians. But God had a prophet in the land and the word came to the prophet. And even when the people missed the prophet, Jesus turned around and tell them, what went you out to see? A man in soft raiment? See? Is that like Herod and them? That's in king palaces. See? I read shaking like the wind. One of these will just lead us today, on this today, tomorrow, then something else, next day, then something else? He said, no. What went you out to see? He said, I tell you, a prophet and more than a prophet. For there's no greater man born than John. And you know something? He is even less than the little children that have been born in the kingdom. Because why? John never get to live in this age. He was the one opened the door. All down through the Old Testament, the prophesied the Messiah that's going to come. But John opened the door for that new age. When Messiah was going to be there. But he never get to walk with the Messiah. He was preaching, didn't know who he was. One day he saw him and he said, that is him. When John was in prison, Jesus didn't even go and visit him. Amen. When John died, Jesus didn't even send as a reed. Amen. Amen. No, he didn't love him. God is not, because he said you build tombs in your garden, you took the prophets and all kind of different things, you yourself the one who killed him. Amen. And here the prophet had come to introduce the word to the people, and that's what they should see. They should recognize the word that he brought. Which is the Messiah, the Son of Man himself. Amen. That even when John introduced Jesus to the people, John still had disciples. Because John's disciples didn't understand the purpose John came for. And then many people had to hold on to the prophet and they hang around the prophet. And they tried to tell him what they hold on to the prophet for. He came to introduce you to the Word. Walk with the Word. They come garnishing the tomb of the prophet again. See, and the thing has favor in the sight of God. You see, but look what happened. From the time Jesus came and he went forth there, and he was established the Word that John introduced, the Lamb. The people saw it. They didn't believe it. The religious leaders didn't accept it. And they rejected the Word that John, the prophet, with the spirit of Elijah, introduced.
Amen.
And they said, where are they crucified? See? Because they didn't recognize John to be no prophet.
Amen.
So they couldn't receive the Word John introduced.
Amen.
Amen. And here it was, when they thought that they were getting rid of a man who was perverting the people's strange teaching, that was one of his charges. They said he perverted the people's strange doctrine. He can preach in serpent seed, only one God, when we know it's three persons and one God. See? They said he can preach against Sadducees and Pharisees and Sanhedrin and call it white and sepulchre full of dead men's bones. He come thinking he alone have the truth. See? And they said he born in fornication because his mother and his sister and his brothers and them here with us. He was a carpenter. His own cousin, who John is his cousin. But his own family thing they plan. You see? It could look so in the people's eyes. His mother had him before she even got married to his father. So he born he's a legitimate child. And these things blinded them. Yet they are believing the Messiah. Yet the churches are taught it because it was in the Bible. But they hadn't figured out a certain way. So here it was happening right before him. And the Word was rejected. But that Word caught a few people. They may not have been what the society called a criminal society, but it's a criminal crop as far as God's concerned. Because Peter's a fisherman. Matthew's a tax collector. Luke was a doctor. So he had all kinds. And Luke didn't say, well, me a doctor, so I'll listen to a fisherman preach. He didn't get out of trouble at all. Because they are losing all that complexity. There's one in Christ. Amen. So what's something? So then hear the Word. And here in the last few moments, the Word is already rejected. The church had rejected it. And the church couldn't kill him. So the church took it to the government. It went from church to state. That is the way it's going today. Do you understand that? The church leaders have rejected it. It's coming to the state now. Because the state will have the power to kill somebody. So back then at tight. What's the message that Elijah introduced John? John introduced the revealed Word, the Lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. That message shook the church world. It blocked the denominations. It called our people out. They hated it. Because the religious leaders didn't have the power and the ministry like was in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And the people who had called out, they thought it was a bunch of radicals. But God had called out people like he called David. He was chosen and elected. The hour is going to come to be anointed with the dynamics of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To put the church in action. Amen. To sweep the world with the gospel. To fulfill the Great Commission. Amen. And watch it happen again. In the evening time, the Son of Man shall be revealed. Just before the second coming. Look, history repeats itself again. One with the spirit of Elijah come again. Amen. Introduce the Word, the Son of Man, the full Word. Amen. Blasted all the organizations to call God people out. Amen. And here we see the church world rejected it. It went to the state. Amen. The ecumenical move, all these things on. What is actually happening? It coming to church and state. Amen. It coming back to a place just like where they killed over 68 million. Back there, the church used the power of the state. Look in Revelation. Amen. So we see the same thing happen again. But here now, he was between his rejection and his public crucifixion. Is that where we are today? Alright, here's your Word going. And people are lamenting and bewailing. But the faith like this is the Word that all the prophets had prophesied. Was bottled up in this man. This man was the second Adam. This man here was God himself. This was the fulfillment of the scriptures. Every prophecy in the Bible pertained to this man. This was the message of the hour. But they didn't recognize it as that. They recognized it as a man going through a hard time. They recognized it as a good man dying a death that he shouldn't die. But we church leaders think it's so what else could we say? We can't influence them what to do. Alright. That's the atmosphere they were in. Now if you're in that atmosphere this morning, come out of that. Yes. Recognize what's happening. Yes. It's not a little bunch of people. No. Who people I feel sorry for in the end. Yes. It's God again. Yes. It's the principal team of the New Testament. Yes. It's the bride of Jesus Christ. Yes. Amen. The word of God coming to pass. And even while he was feeling sorry for him, they had already beaten him, whipped him, tear his back apart with Roman whips. Amen. Amen. Put the crown of thorns upon his head. Play, use him for entertainment. Amen. Put him to send to Herod. Herod send to Pilate. Pilate send him back here, trying to throw him back to the priests and them. Herod say, do a trick for me, see, I can do miracles. Do perform a miracle for me to see. Amen. And they try to mock him and they spit upon him, all these things. And they just castigated the word. They just humiliated the word. Remember, Jesus is the word. That contempt for the revealed word. But that word was so anointed. That word so understood the purpose he was made manifest for. While he was doing all that, he turned to them now. As they followed him, they followed him in a great company. But they were not following with faith, you know. They was more following to see the debt. That kind of follow him wasn't like he tell the rich one, follow me. And they followed him, a great company of people. A woman who would bewail him. And they said, well, one time he had prayed for me, I get healed in his meetings. I get touched, I cry in the service. You know, so they had some kind of little thing for him. So they wanted to cry. And he turned on there with them eagle eyes, the same eyes that said, your name is Simon. The same eyes that you sit on their heart and tell them the secret of their sins. He said, don't weep for me. Because he began to see, look what is going to come upon these people. Amen. He said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming. Future. Prophecy now. In which they shall say, blessed are the barren. They couldn't understand it yet. What does that mean? Blessed are the barren. See? They didn't know what it meant. Now notice, look how this thing comes out. He said, at that time, that is the time, when the days come where people are saying, blessed are the barren, that is the hour they'll begin to cry for the rocks and mountains. Now listen to this. I read this out of the Invisible Union for you. Page 17. This is where I stopped the last time. The other night. But now look what Hollywood has taken the virtuous things from our women. I was sitting here looking at a dear old woman, Sister Schrader. Many of the women back here, Sister Moore and them, he says, they remember a few years ago if their mother or even would have walked out in the street the way some of these women walk today, church members, they would have locked up the woman for being insane. She forgot to put on a skirt. My mother and they, well, she's not here this morning, but she could tell you that. And some of you older people here, Brother Ross and some of these people here. Back there, a woman walked in the road with one we call hot pants and all her back and these things. They're locked up for indecent pose here. They would say, this woman is crazy or something. She's a mental condition. Now, if that was sin back there, it's still the same thing today. It doesn't sign the baggage, it's still the same thing today. But if the people have grown into that condition. He said, well, it was insane then, it's insane now. Look, the whole world proved it's insane. Look at the murders and things that are going on now in the world. Insanity. All headless corpses, all kind of different. People study murder now. How you can do murder and it can't be detected. These are the real people going into now. Yes. See? These things become a big study, see? Because everybody, is so full of evil. You see, the whole thing is coming to fulfill revelation. We may get it this week. He said, these hideous things, those are not natural things. That is spiritual things that makes the people scream to the rocks and mountains and everything else to fall on them. Those things when they scream to the rocks and mountains is not natural things. Now, I'll touch it back in a little while. Friday night, we were speaking about the dimensions. And the fourth dimension is radio and television. Like science. Now, science have discovered that. They broke into God's laboratory. That's how prophets see visions. That's how Moses was able to write the book of Genesis. Because remember, Moses was way after Abraham, and Abraham was way after the flood. And the flood was 2,000 years after Genesis. Yet Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Moses described the creation. He described what happened, even the serpent. He described all through in the days of Noah what happened. He described how God destroyed the world. He described how God called Abraham out. Amen. You were seeing the visions. Now, if you're seeing visions, then it has to be recorded somewhere. Have that some file you can go back into and look at it.
Amen.
If you see it flashing before him. Yes. Alright, now watch. Now, the audience, you take a tape recorder. You're full of songs or a message or something. And you put it on your player. On your player, have fast forward and rewind.
Amen.
And if you don't want to hear something in the future on that tape, you press fast forward and it spin down further and you didn't reach yet and you can hear it.
Amen.
If you pass something and you want to recall it, that's already in the past. You're in the middle of the tape and that's way in the beginning. You press rewind and you bring back the past present.
Amen.
Or you press fast forward and go into the future.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Now the same way God has everything recorded.
Amen.
And that's why when a prophet comes, he can foresee the future and describe details like we see in the book of Revelation here. He tells you what's going to happen, nations, location, this is going to happen, the people he's going to happen to, what is going to take place, and to a description because they've seen it.
Amen.
Then thousands of years after, we see Jesus came and was born in the identical place where he said he's going to be born.
Amen.
In the very little tongue that was maybe an unknown tongue in those days. Bethlehem never even existed. In the time when them prophets, given them prophecy, had great cities like Egypt, great nations like Egypt and all them big nations.
Amen.
All the Chaldees, all these great nations, Babylon, Medes and Persia. And them prophets was prophesying. I had no place called Bethlehem. Hardly. It wasn't unknown. It was just a little village down the back somewhere there.
Amen.
That Joshua had divided the land and some person discovered it. But it didn't have no world recognition. And those prophets could see those things. Say, how are you going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes? How are you going to be born? How are you going to die? And they're going to gamble for his clothes. They cast lots of my garments. How do I pierce his hands? What are you going to send the cross? They prophesied it so accurately. They were seeing it. Then God would come and show them back something that happened in the past. And they would write these things. Look, we even seen the film where the prophet's up and watch that woman and says, you're getting younger and younger and younger and younger. 25 years ago, I'm seeing a kind of accident. I see you come this way. You hit your head. And then, yes, the truth is the truth. You see it actually take place. Wasn't psychology. You saw it. Because we caught it somewhere. Now, when science discovered the fourth dimension, they broke into a place where they realized everything a man do. From the time man exists on this earth, it's been recorded somewhere.
Amen.
But before man fell on the face and repent and cried to God for mercy, to realize all their sins will come right before them, they will fear it. The very thoughts they were thinking, the very acts they did, the hiding they thought nobody never knew,
Amen.
It will be right there before them to judge them.
Amen.
See? And instead of that, what they do, they use it for entertainment. They take their own things now. You see, because that man live out, it is being recorded through that dimension. But then man now is making their own plays for entertainment. Making their own stories. Get people to act these roles. Telling them what to act, telling them what to live out. To portray. Alright? Making their own things. And then they take it and they send it through that same channel. But you see, the human race is living out something. Everybody living the daily life. But then people now, they make a movie. And they make this whole thing, and then they send it through that channel. And then with all the advanced inventions and these things, then they could get these things to come right into your set in your home. And they sit and watch these things. But while they're doing that now, look what's happening. That fourth dimension there, you can't see, you can't contact with your five senses. That's why you need a set. Because it is a higher realm, a higher pitch to what your ears can hear.
Amen.
It is another frequency. So your ear can't hear what is going on.
Amen.
So through the set, you turn up your radio and the volume, and that set is picking up the voice you can't hear. The voice is not in the radio, the voice is only channeling. The radio is only channeling what is already there.
Amen.
The television set is only channeling what is there that your eye can't see. So when it manifests in the screen, you see the picture. But remember, if you live in Toko, that picture is showing in Marval Road. Remember, if you live in Cedrus, that picture is showing in Marval Road. That would have been projected through, but going through the dimension, and it comes into your home. This service, you could be in China, Africa, wherever you could be. This service could be televised live. With the very instrument, that's pulled through the dimension. So look what they're doing. The devil now used that dimension to empty out what is in hell.
Amen.
To reflect what is in hell Because hell has been created on the earth. And all these things there in that dimension, he's bringing it out to that dimension and channeling it through the fourth dimension. So it's coming over into these three dimensions where your eye could see it, where your ear could hear it, and you can come under the influence it. And then when people start to see and hear, they begin to love it and get addicted to it.
Amen.
So it comes part of the social life.
Amen.
It becomes even the influence. That's where they get the fashion from television. That's where they get the idols from.
Amen.
It even can replace God and become an object of worship.
Amen.
Because it occupies more time in their life than God wanted to get hold of.
Amen.
So the spirit now comes under the influence of that.
Amen.
But then those people making you see what they want you to see. They're telling you who to listen to.
Amen.
Because those people could pay for the time on the radio.
Amen.
So when you turn on now, you gotta listen to that.
Amen.
When you turn on the tube, you guys, I don't want that show tonight. Ring them and say, show something else, I want something different. No. They show you what I want to show you.
Amen.
And the devils who is controlling these things is actually getting the whole people thinking into a certain channel.
Amen.
And it's disorienting them from the real values of life and the word of God. And it's being done so subtly, people don't even know it.
Amen.
That the spirit is becoming hybrid.
Amen.
And it becomes easier to sit down and hear some gospel Sunday morning on television and the radio than to go to church.
Amen.
And then they feel the touch of the radio and they go through a little sensation and they've been healed.
Amen.
And all the different things. See? And what was happening? Not a bit, because those things control the mind. And that's where the battleground is fought. That way the battle is fought in the mind. Because the mind is the gate to the soul. You must receive it here first.
Amen.
And then through self will you accept it or reject it.
Amen.
And then what? You looking through your own eyes and your own reasoning. And what is the modern trend? And because the modern trend is only reflecting what the system is actually trying to achieve at the present time. Because all this is controlled. The government has the different things on it. The state owned many of these things, the private enterprises, and this is the lifestyle for the people. If they find the people are, maybe like how they say, get more local songs on the radio, get more this on the radio, get more that. Because they find the people getting too foreign, and they're changing the values. So they say, I'm gonna try to change different things now, and start to publish less foreign things in the papers, bring it more local, because that's controlling the people. That's how they're contacting the people's spirit. But the individual in the mass out there, the mass of the population, they are not taught. So they just get carried away in the big current. They're in the big flow. They're not stopping to think because they're caught up in fashion, taking example of somebody. So if 500 people fall in the pastor, and the pastor is demon possessed, that 500 people going the wrong way, they're blind, leading the blind, they all fall in the ditch. You know what I'm saying? So it's exactly this way in the last days. And the whole world is coming to insanity because all these things are beginning to bring out now into the film and these things is actually getting people into witchcraft, into the occult, into immorality, and they're presenting these as fashions. And then they pay the newspaper carrying the models. I see the time when my bag got lost, my books and so on. And you know, to try to get it back, I use a little ad in the paper. For a little space I've got to pay money for. And I watch and see the kind of filth and all kind of foolishness it have free. Just in the paper splash up to make up space.
Yes, yes.
So people are not interested in something that's worthwhile.
Amen.
The people they think want to sell papers. And they think that the ones that splash between naked people on the front page, they're probably going to buy the paper.
Amen.
Because that's the spirit of the public already into.
Yes.
And half of them is one small article, so, and a big picture irrelevant to the article, and they put it there to fill up space. And like we said in the newspapers, two newspapers were at war with one another. And the whole paper is a, you know, slandering one another. And this is what the people are feeding upon. So look at two journalists in such a low moral condition. It's controlling the masses. Because the people are not being educated nowhere. Now, I'm just trying to draw a picture for you to show you how the population itself And that happened here, and here only have two papers. When you go in them countries, in one city alone, it's about 40, 50 big newspapers. That city you're talking about. And this is where they have the whole people focus into. And that's where the influence coming from. So next thing is, you actually see what the people's lives being producing in such a condition that the women today, look how Hollywood stripped them off of these things. A woman no longer think that she's a mother. God designed her the way he designed her to be a mother. She don't even know what her body is given to her for.
Amen.
She think her body is given to her to wear revealing clothes, go in the paper, get a little popularity, become a model.
Amen.
And she thinks that's great. Because she don't know her body is given for those things. God gave a woman breast to nurse her children.
Amen.
Like he gives the dog and he gives the cow.
Amen.
Not for no other purpose.
Amen.
But a woman has take that now and I become a topless waitress. Where men just go for attraction. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Because the mind is perverted.
Amen.
A woman's body is given for her as a bedding bug to bring for life and redemption.
Amen.
But she don't want to go out of shape by having children. For a husband.
Amen.
See? Because she don't have responsibility. She want to go to a party. She want to go here. She want to go here. She want to go out in the night. She don't want to be tied on home with no little crying baby.
Amen.
So he said the hour is going to come. They will say, blessed are those. That's what Jesus is saying here. The complete total insanity of the world will go right away. It's almost there now. You can see the footsteps of it. It's marching right on the street, right on the church pew, insanity. Do things that a human being wouldn't think of doing being civilized. Look at what Hollywood has done to the woman. How it rubbed, the time is up. The sacred virtue of the woman. On and on we can go, see? All this, she lost. And when the woman, when Satan designed and get her in that condition, then she become a temptation of a man now. That's where you get her. Because with a woman, you can bring more deception than anything else.
Amen.
Bible said our gates are the gates of hell. So look what you have done to get her out there to bring a temptation. So Satan could destroy the generation.
Amen.
And you have done it because women become the most worshipped thing in the world today.
Amen.
Yet she's lower than a female dog.
Amen.
A bad woman that is.
Amen.
Because a female dog cannot commit adultery. Was made before the woman in God's creation.
Amen.
Or in the original creation, a woman is a byproduct of the man.
Amen.
Look at the male dog. It's more beautiful than the female dog. Look at the male rooster in the yard. More beautiful than the female hen. Look at the male lion. More beautiful than the female. Look at the male horse. More beautiful than the female. Look at the male peacock. More beautiful than the female. All God made in his creation more beautiful than the female. But when it comes to the woman is more beautiful than the man.
Amen.
And the serpent in its cursed form. It's so graceful and beautiful. The psychiatrists say when the people stand and stare at a serpent, unconsciously it has to do with sex. That's why they stand and stare it in that way.
Amen.
You take history down to Babylon and where Celtic religion has origin and come right down through the Old Testament there. You would see they always had a living serpent as part of their worship.
Amen.
Look, we should do that. This dancer, one of them from Brazil, with all these big snakes and these with the axe. Because it is proven that a serpent will give a woman more sensation than a man.
Amen.
In its cursed form.
Amen.
You see what it was back in the Garden of Eden. That's why that apple made him know the naked. As the prophet said, pass the apples again, let it eat it again.
Amen.
If an apple can make a boy know that the naked, let it eat more apples, because the whole world is naked outside on the street.
Amen.
You see what's happening? No, we don't want the church now. Who get carried away and lost her sacred virtues? She don't want to bring forth those Acts 2:38 children. Those screaming babies, she don't want to bring forth at all. She only wants little programs and little, things to get in politics and all kind of little domestic social business. But when people come to a real born again experience and cry at the altar, Like Jacob, he was willing to do anything to get the birthright.
Amen.
But Esau didn't think the birthright meant what God said it meant. See? So look how she lost all this. How did the church get that condition? It's a bad condition today. It's the same way a woman got in that low condition today. It's the same way. Because woman is only representing the church. And if there is a real virtuous people today, if there is virtuous woman today, then there must be a real virtuous church somewhere that they're speaking of. If there is, in these days, we have 9 out of 10 marriages end in divorce. There must be people who is actually entering into this thing in this late hour when the whole world is gone chaos. Who enter into these things with the revelation of the sacred trust. Because God didn't change where he started in Eden. And there must be a people with that same revelation, that same way. If God have a people at all. Because God can have a people who is walking in obedience to his word and then have them in ignorance doing things like the world. When God have his example of what the truth is back there. God can have a people who should live yesterday, a certain man can't live that way today. Because what made them live the way they lived yesterday was God. And the same God is still here can make them live the same way today. And then God will require people to live a certain way and then don't give them the ability to live that way. The people can want to be halfway if they want. Amen. See? So look how she lost all this. Because there's a supple instrument called the church. Like there was in the Garden of Eden. How did Eve lose her veil? The serpent. How did she get defiled? How did death come? The serpent. What did he come to? Preaching. And the last days, it would be a religious deception. The two spirits would be so close, it was possible to deceive the elect. The age where there's more preachers than there ever was. More ways and means of spreading the gospel than there ever was. More Bibles printed than there ever was. More churches than there ever was. And in the rottenest condition than it ever was too. Amen. So then what it is? And the Bible says even that day will be the famine for the hearing of the true word of God. Amen. Not for the hearing of the word, for the true word of God. Because men holding the truth in unrighteousness and the wrath of God has been revealed unto them. You see? So he said, look how she lost these things. And sisters, let me tell you. You could be virtuous, you could be really moral. And you could try to keep make a virtuous impression. And in your heart, you'd be a lover of the world and the things of the world. Amen. But get a thinking filter this morning. Amen. Don't let the devil rub these things over you and make you like Eve. But make sure that character is inside of you. Because remember, the church today is not the building, it's the people. And this church will prove she's not like Eve. So when you see a person, a flirting spirit go wrong, there's something wrong somewhere. The demon possesses and don't even know it. See? He said that's exactly what happened today. She had been deceived by television, by magazines, by these people, all these fine things that go on the streets, modern girls. They look at magazines, they look at pictures, they look at them on the street, they see the clothing in the shops. And that is one of the things everybody has a taste for. Oh, they want to look nice. They want to dress nice. But if you dress nice, dress decently. Amen. Nothing wrong if you dress nice. God provide for you, dress nice. It's all right. But dress decently. Yeah. Let dressing decently govern your dressing nice. Yeah. Don't dress nice to look worldly nice. God nice is decently, modestly. Yeah. Yeah. And then your fashions wouldn't be coming from the people that the devil have controlled them and already. You won't be looking for them because the Bible says, you are daughters of Sarah, them a holy woman of God. Amen. Who beauty is a meek and quiet spirit in the sight of God. You watch a woman that is some big rowdy spirit carrying on her. You watch a church has the same spirit. It's only that kind of woman that is all it is. You are the word of God, come to some church and correct them, and they flare up. Is it the same as you see a woman, a husband, and tell her something, and she's going to flare up and fight? Is it the same as you see those kind of churches? Because it's the same spirit. That is why God made the woman that, because she was to represent the church. Adam and Eve represent Christ as bride. And the woman, the man, all the way down through. And then you watch how the woman lost those things. Look how she lost it. It is the same when the church lost it. Look how the woman becomes so immoral and vulgar. It is the same when the church has become. Because she's no longer sincere just to the word of God alone. That is no longer her head alone. This is no longer the things that when she looks, she wants to be like Jesus Christ. Where she has a desire just to obey the word. No longer that way. She wants to become prominent in the society. The church wants to be the voice. She wants to go there and mix with politicians. She wants to have a say in everything.
Amen.
See? Look how she's on the great instrument that hell has come down among the people and deceived them into these things. And the woman thinks she's alright and she's dead and don't know it. How many churches is dead and don't even know it?
Amen.
The Pentecostals are so dead and they thought they had all this big loud music jumping up and down the place, falling down. They thought that was revival.
Amen.
But they were dead and didn't even know it.
Amen.
See, she lost all this. Where's the virtue? Where's the grace? Where's the sincerity? Where's the sacredness? Where's the humility? Where's the modesty? Where's the blush in the woman? Where's it gone? I don't want the church, you know.
Yeah.
I'm only using that to bring out to the church. I'm on the church here. I'm an invisible union of the church. Today I want you to know that Jesus spoke of it. He made mention this would come to pass. Speaking of the day when women would want to be no more children, would no more want to have children. They want a dog or a cat or something like that, but she don't want children anymore. Why? She's a old mother. How about if she have a child? See? That's the remarks of Hollywood. They don't want a woman to be a old mother Hubbard. So she has some operation performed on himself or her that will keep them from having children. They'll want the operation instead. And these things only open a door for immorality. Free lovers, little children go to the counter in the drugstore and buy contraceptives. They will come too. Because the drugstore, in competition, they want to sell the things. So they break down the standard. They sell to anybody just to make a dollar.
Amen.
Because some old man who had no love for medicine and humanity, he's going out to make a quick dollar. That's what he's going in that business for. Because unemployment and recession, all these things, he wanted a quick turn off. That's why when they find all the doctors was committing the most abortions and all kind of illegal things going on behind. You see? And when they call it out the other day, they had the man suck, or they wanted to make the man lose his job, when he speak out against the evils. But every place, God have people to raise up and speak against the evils of those places.
Amen.
A voice, because how else can it bring judgment upon it?
Amen.
See? He said Jesus spoke of it, and what did he say? At that time, they will begin to cry for the rocks and the mountains for them. She will practice birth control. She'll go to, so she can go to parties. She will be bothered with a baby nursing her. It will disform her. When she's pregnant, it will disform her. She won't look like she used to, and her husband ignorant enough to let her go that way. She won't give him a child. Jesus spoke of it and he said, when they were doing this, at that time, they are going to cry again for the rocks to fall on them. It's the coming of the Lord. A true picture of the modern church. Neither does this modern church want to hear any screaming and shouting, tongue speaking, accents yet young ones around her. She doesn't want them whooping and crying, screaming, amen. Hello? What kind of child would immediately put her out of her? Why? Such a child would put her out of her denomination. They had one like that in one of the churches, why do they throw her out quick? Why you let such stuff like that go on? But are you only, when they're born, they have to cry.
Amen.
When you see people come with some old dry confession, they say they're born something wrong.
Amen.
When a baby born, they'll be crying. Because even like a little gospel spank too.
Yeah.
See? For them to catch the breath.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. If the woman had given birth by water, blood, and then the life just come. It's the same way Jesus died. Water and blood came out inside first. And then he gave up the ghost. God baptized the world in the days of Noah by water.
Yeah.
Then the blood of Jesus Christ fall upon and sanctified. And then he gave birth by fire also.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same three stages. Water, blood, and fire. The fire baptism of the Holy Spirit. You get baptized in water like this coming, then the blood of Jesus Christ sanctify them and cleanse them, and then the baptism of fire, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, the natural birth is the same way. First it is comforted, the water back is birth. Then the sure blood, then it should give birth to life. And then you get a screaming baby coming forth.
Amen.
It's the same way. God have all, and she has to go through birth pains and labor to bring that forth. And our birth is a mess.
Amen.
Whether in a hospital room, in a barn, in the back of a car, is a mess.
Amen.
You see? That mother groaning in pain and laboring. And that's where the church will be, because she's in birth pains too, to bring for the Son of God.
Amen.
And the churches, they don't want them kind of screaming, David, hallelujah, glory to God around them. They want them, amen. You know, real classical, that's what they want. But Jesus said, "These hold the peace, the rocks will cry out."
Yeah.
Amen. So as we close here, think about that this morning. When will that time come in? Those are not natural things to make them scream and cry. Because look how the people is saying, blessed are they who is barren and the part that don't give suck. They think it's a disgrace to have it. Long ago, it's a disgrace not to have one. And that's only speaking in the church. The Lutheran church only wanted to hold hands. The Wesleyan church, the Methodist church, they only wanted him to kiss them and make a love to them. They didn't want no children. The Pentecostal church refused his seed.
Amen.
When he wanted to bring forth children in his image for this age.
Amen.
Because God wanted children in his image in this age. Seed children, children of the word. Because only illegitimate, the churches, the denominations are only producing illegitimate children. They call them Christians. They send their father Jesus Christ. They say Christ is the daddy. And when Christ look at them, they don't have no resemblance to him at all. They don't pray like him. They don't walk like him. They don't separate from unbelief like him. They don't resemble him at all.
Amen.
If a woman have a child, say, tell the father that is his own. And he have any doubts, he get a blood test.
Amen.
And he'll prove that blood in that child is his own. Because the blood is in the male sperm, the hemoglobin. And because the man is the germ bearer, he carries the seed. And that's why a man is preaching the gospel, because he is preaching the word as the seed.
Amen.
And that word is the life, that's the blood cell. And when you're born of the incorruptible seed of the word of God, then God's blood is inside of you, apostolic blood.
Amen.
Amen. You watch all these denominational children, they take them on the mother side, which is the church side. They come with they resemble the denomination more than they resemble the word. But God wanted that children in his own image to resemble the word. To have his blood, his life, his characteristics, his nature. To walk like him, talk like him, act like him, behave like him. He can say, this is my beloved son in whom I am pleased to dwell in. That's what he wants. I wonder what them churches say. They're bringing forth, even the message bringing forth, they're coming forth with the preacher spirit. They're coming forth resemble the man that they've been influenced by. It shows them that those men are not eunuchs because they're making children. They're coming forth like Christ. They're coming forth like the example we see. They're coming forth resembling those men. It shows that those men is committing fornication with the bride. That are trying to do at least. Or those who claim to be the bride.
Amen.
If you willing to take a blood test this morning to find if you're illegitimate or illegitimate. Because remember, if you're illegitimate, that means you're born in the act of adultery. Your daddy ain't the word. Your daddy might be a creed or a dogma. And you might have a religious blood, might make you worship like Cain. But when Jesus looked at Cain, he couldn't see himself because he couldn't see himself in Cain at all. But when he looked at Abel, he saw himself in Abel. When he looked at Ishmael, he couldn't see himself in Ishmael. But when he looked at Isaac, he could see himself in Isaac. You understand what I'm saying? Well, this is what it is. But they were all twins. Look at Esau and Jacob. Twins. Judas and Jesus born to the womb of Judah. Both were from Judah.
Amen.
The tribe of Judah. Look at Cain and Abel. Out of the same womb. Twins. And the last days, it will be so close, it will see the like as possible.
Amen.
So the only thing to prove them is to give them a blood test. Because you will be disinherited. Your name will not appear on the will. Because when you come to receive inheritance, you'll have to present your identification to prove that you're legitimate. And your identification would have to be part of the word that to show you it's part of him. And outside his life in you, you can't impersonate that part of the world. You can't be impersonated. You may impersonate a man, but you can't impersonate that day at all. So this morning, don't you think it's time you come to a place where you could see and know for certain? Because remember, if a child is calling a father daddy and that's not his father, he may be calling him because his mother told him that he's his daddy. I might grow up in that home thinking that man was his father all the time. But that might not be his father. And the father will be able to relate to that boy as a son because he was not in his loins to begin with. And it's very similar with God. The children of this age must come forth in his own image, in his own likeness. Because they have to come to adoption. They have to come and take his place and carry on his work. It will be he inside of them. And that's the only way we can know, because women today, churches is refusing his seed. Because they're on sensation, they may want a sensation and not bring for your husband's seed. Now that women get their fear with other men. They like this one, they like that one, because they're going after the sensation they could give them. But they're getting away from the sacred trust. Where they have to bring forth life. Where they have to raise a family. Where they have to a sacred motherhood and sacred womanhood. And that's only like a church. That's why God is going to stone and kill them children for adultery. You see what he's speaking about? Because what the serpent will indulge Eve in, Adam will never carry Eve again, because he knew that his sister at the same time. That was a daughter of God at the same time. He had treated like a gentleman, a lady. But Satan would want to exploit and explore her. And her flesh might rejoice in that. But she'll lose all self-respect afterwards. She'll look like a slut. That's a raw word in the put, but the truth, I want to make it plain to you. And when ministers trying to give the church more sensation, and when ministers trying to let the church see that the evidence, you will not surely die, but you have to receive their sensation to know you're qualified. And what they're telling you is not what God told you. They come telling you something else. God didn't tell you how to get their sensation to be qualified. But they want to tell you how to get their sensation. And that's exactly what the serpent is trying to tell Eve. Amen. Amen. See. So when you watch those things, you see where that comes from. See. And that's why you walk virtuous. That one woman is dancing the rock and roll music real vulgar. But one is walking real sane. Real intelligent. Right? With gracefully. Modestly. Because she was a lady. Because she knew Eliezer came to get a bride. That's why he came. He sweated out to get character. Because all these prostitutes, these denominations, who God is going to kill. He couldn't carry that for him. Twisting like serpents. Trying to create attraction and fleshly sensation. But he's watching the character and obey his word. No matter how much the devil can tempt them, they will stay with the husband's word. Hallelujah! Virtuous! To the word of the husband. They rather die than to betray that sacred trust. Because they have character, they have virtue, they're a flirter. And that's the church, that's the bride looking for. That Paul said, oh, you, he said, bear with me. I've got the jealousy. I watch you flirting, you run after the preacher, run after that preacher, run after that preacher, run after that preacher. He said, something wrong with you. Amen. Like you're ready for marriage yourself. You don't even know where you're going into. Look at Rebecca, she takes the veil and veil herself every time she sees the bridegroom. She was shut away from the world. Where is those kind of ladies? Jesus Christ have won. He has found a virtuous woman. Amen. Truth is, we let her stand to her feet. Amen. I trust you bear with me this morning because we couldn't spend much time longer, so we just had too much to be baptized. That's really wonderful. Amen. But Israel Daniel, Debbie Daniel, praise God. So, in this late hour, that God could still have these to come in. I'm looking for a tremendous time to go into the water. It's always wonderful. And it's the right day. Let it rise up in the newness of life on the resurrection day. On the Sunday. It's the right day to rise. For the quickening power to come and raise them up. Who is dead and sin, trespassing to heavenly places. May God fill their heart to overflowing. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, we thank you. Oh God, so much more could be said. It seems that these things shake us and it's hard and cruel, but so much times we have failed to get under the effects of the word. And Lord, we don't look into these things deep enough to catch the real meaning, to know how we should present ourselves unto you, how we should walk before you, how we should please you. God, I pray this morning that we stand here in your presence, realizing that the whole mystery of this Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, is about the Lamb and his bride. And it all ends up when the husband and wife walks back into the restored Eden. For that is what it was in the beginning. Paradise lost, paradise regained. Adam and his bride in the Garden of Eden. But then she was defiled. She was seduced. We come over in the New Testament, and in the spiritual sense, the same thing happened to the church. But you made a prophecy. There will be a people in the last days where it's so evil and so deceptive. Vulgarity, morality in every hand. Yet in the midst of it all, there will be a virtuous people. Both naturally and spiritually. Undefiled lives, unblemished lives. Their thinking will be filtered. They have a holy taste. They see the word of God confirming their lives. They will live under the inspiration of those sacred trusts entrusted unto them. Sacred motherhood and sacred womanhood, which is to conduct themselves around man, around preachers, around men with seed. To raise up children, not spiritual delinquents, all kind of illegitimate cursed children. Love is a pleasure more than love is a God, and then claim to be Christians. Spiritual delinquents. But Lord, they will raise up children to walk in the way of the Lord. Children of light, that are not drunken, but are sober, having on the breastplate of faith and love, walking in the light as you in the light. Children of the kingdom, in your own image. And then to bring forth life for redemption, Zoe, God's own life, the token that could redeem their families. Virtuous life, the character of Jesus Christ being reflected through his church. The elect lady, Father, is what she's called. And her children. Oh God, let these things strike our hearts with reality. That woman called Grace. Blessed be your name. It's a prophecy for the last days. When the marriage takes place and the word and the bride is united, we'd see a church, faith of your faith, virtue of your virtue, knowledge of your knowledge, with a mind of Christ. And then, Lord, there'll be a cheap reproduction. Don't even worth a nickel. Filthy prostitute. Claiming to be the bride of Jesus Christ. Looking like the world. Walking like the world. Acting like the world. Sure that she don't even know you. Father, I pray for these this morning. That we're born by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. The blood of Jesus Christ. You have that royal blood in the veins. They know they're a child of the king and the queen, the elect lady. Not spiritual delinquents, but children in the image of the Father. Seed children, shining forth the glory of God for this age. Cover them with your presence. Hide them in that pavilion, the secret of thy tabernacle. Set them upon thy rock. Let the dove lead the eagles. Lord God, may you be the portion, be the satisfying portion. Have your way in the lives. And we will leave this place to go down to the seaside just to continue the other part of the service. We ask your presence to accompany us. We look forward to the continuing leadership, the direction in service. And that your presence be seen amongst us so mightily, even the public as we go out there. And men will take note that these are with Jesus and Jesus is with them. Granted, Father. May you dismiss us from this place now. We thank you for what we have received today. May your blessing ever be upon us and keep us in thy presence. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. May I have a seat? Oh yes, I'm a child of the King. Oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood. His royal blood now flow through my veins. And I, who was wretched and blind, now can see. Praise God, praise God. I'm a child of God. While the musicians keep playing, just a little announcement. Brother's prayer meeting will be held tomorrow at the Brother Anthony Williams' home in Pinal tomorrow night. Amen. Oh, yes. I'm a child. If you're going to the baptism, without transportation, just see my deacons will try to work something out for you.